Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby. You are enough.
Oh, hey. Welcome to Sadcast, a podcast featuring stories, art, and design from No Fun City. I'm your host, Becca Clarkson, and we've got brand new theme music for you by Vancouver's very own Kimmortal. That is their single, Sad Femme Club. And baby, if you haven't heard of this multidisciplinary artist, put a Kimmortal listening party on your to-do list right after finishing this episode. They will be featured in Sad Magazine's upcoming issue, number 35, Blank Slate. I'm really excited for this theme because it feels like the perfect way to kick off a new era of Sad. Oh yeah, I've stepped into the role of editorial co-publisher, while the lovely and talented Cynthia Tranbo is the new design co-pub. Sad Magazine is a volunteer publication that tends to attract people in creative communities, and those people can't and shouldn't be contained. So while we are sad to see our former co-publishers, Maddie Barber and Sid Danger, move on, we can't wait to see what they will do next with their talents and time. With so many changes, sorry, I thought it would be a good time to introduce you to some of the new faces fronting Sad Mag.
Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby. You are enough.
So I'm Cynthia. I am one of the new co-pubs and creative directors. I was a contributor a couple issues ago, back when it was the trash issue. I love anything creative. I do a mix of editorial designs to branding designs and murals all over the city. Expect some changes in design. Like, I think with every new designer on the team, every designer has their own style and take to how they can really take a piece and like interpret it in the illustrative manner. So I'm sure things will look different in the, compared to the past. And new colors, new layouts. There's a lot of experimentation.
Hi, I'm Sierra Riley. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm an editor with Sad. I am an enjoyer of pop culture. I like to write about it. I like to consume it, and I like to tweet about it. Theater is the background that I'm coming from. Moved around a lot. My family lives in Dubai, originally from Toronto. I think it's great to have an outlet creatively. You know, it's rare or somewhat rare that your 9-to-5 can be the creative outlet that you need in every way. So coming from an arts school and graduating and looking for a community and a way that you can kind of connect with other artists and finding Sad was a little treasure.
Hi, my name is Lindsay. My pronouns are she, her, and I am Sad Mag's social media manager. Come follow us on Instagram at Sad Magazine.
Nice plug.
Outside of Sad, I work in marketing and have worked in communications, and one of the reasons I like to be a part of Sad is it is a creative outlet outside of my 9-to-5, which I think a lot of us would say and agree on. Yeah, I appreciate being a part of this arts community in Vancouver and just being a part of just a different community that is, yeah, outside of kind of like the stuff I get paid for.
Hi, my name is Kathy Xu and my pronouns are they, she, and I'm the web editor at Sad Magazine. I started at Sad in 2021 after I moved back to Vancouver, and I was hoping to find a sense of community and a group of people who were also passionate about writing and art. So I'm very happy to have found Sad and have been having a wonderful time as a part of the team. I am also very passionate about writing, specifically about plants, art, food. So I'm really excited to have more people join our team and to get to know you all.
Thanks, team. You can find more information on our website, sadmag.ca, on how you can become a part of the team or be a paid contributor. If you have any questions, you can always send them by email to hello@sadmag.ca. Now, let's get back to why you're here. a new episode of Sadcast. Finally! It's been a minute, and I really hope that we can start on a blank slate, dear listeners. Hi, Dad. My excuses are boring. I got a puppy, a new job, my computer broke, and then I just kept procrastinating because I was convinced I needed to put out something epic and impressive after taking such a long podcasting break. But it turns out there are plenty of people making imperfect podcasts out there, and they're having fun. In the best case scenario, they're connecting with someone listening. The stakes are low, and the rewards can be high. So, I'm back with another fun, imperfect podcast. My conversation with this next guest may be a little dated, but photographer Mike DiPietro is all about that archive through his project, Seasons of East Van.
Oh, I hate the name.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it because the amount of people, like, hey, can I take your photo or whatever? And they're like, oh yeah, are you the, and they have no idea what the name is. And I'm like, that's my bad. That's bad branding. I wish I just did something with Seasons, but not of East Van. Yeah.
Do you have like a name in mind?
No, though? Not at all. Not no. Even close. Yeah. I think it's too late to change at this point, right? Like, I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. People already don't know the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they'll be like, wait, who's this new photographer? Yeah, let's get him on our podcast.
True. Yeah, rebrand.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
There's hardly any evidence of Mike on the Seasons of East Van Instagram, which is where I initially stumbled upon his work. It's mostly comprised of portraits of strangers he's stopped to photograph on Commercial Drive. He started taking snapshots of street fashion back in 2018, and the majority of the collection is available to view online at seasonsofeastvan.com. His website also includes some personal essays about photography, sustainable fashion, and of course, East Vancouver. It may not surprise you to hear Mike is very stylish. He arrived for our interview wearing a 4-panel cap, blue bomber jacket, and clean white tee. Pretty fly for a high school teacher. Yep, by day, Mike teaches chemistry to grade 11s and 12s. Okay, let's back up. How did he get here?
How far back do you want to go?
To your baby years. No. Where were you born? How was your upbringing?
Yeah, I'm from St. Catharines.
Oh, okay.
Ontario, mm-hmm. Which is in the Niagara region. And I went to school in Waterloo. And then my wife and I, during our like summers of university, would move out to Jasper and just like serve and bartend and stuff out there, and we kind of like fell in love with like the West Coast mountains kind of idea. So when we were applying for jobs as teachers, we were both like, let's try somewhere out west and see what we get. And at the time, there was no teaching jobs. Like, we were leaving teachers college and all of our like professors and stuff, we were like, well, good luck, like, you might not get a job for 10 years, you might just be on like the teacher on call list for a long time. And you know, that's kind of just the way the market is right now, because it's very saturated. And I just happened to find like one posting at the school that I'm at now, and I applied, and they brought me out for like to do like a practice lesson, and it went really well. And then they were like, do you want to start next year? I was like still in teacher's college. So we moved here, moved to White Rock, had only been to like BC once before that. Had spent a lot of time in Alberta, but moved to BC like cold essentially. And then we've been here ever since.
When Mike and his wife first relocated to BC, they lived in White Rock. But Mike would come to Commercial Drive while visiting his brother in the city.
We would just walk around the drive. And I've always been obsessed with like clothing and different styles and different people. And so I would just like be looking all the time, watching. And once we moved into the city, I was all the time back and forth down Commercial doing errands or whatever. And I was like, I need to start taking photos and just see what happens with it. And my brother actually encouraged me to like start an Instagram or start a website, because I had like been dabbling a little bit with photos here and there and just kind of sending them to my friends like, oh, look at this, look at that. And he was like, you should put it on Instagram, because at that time I had been off Instagram for a while. So I did, and then it's kind of just rolled ever since then. I think I've always had an interest in photography. Like, I always kind of had old cameras kicking around at home. I remember like for one of my birthdays, like, I really wanted a digital camera when digital cameras were first starting to be like accessible, like those like little like Olympus ones that had the kind of like retractable lens and stuff. And my parents bought me one, and I would just like go across the street and take photos of like trees and the lake and things like that. And then it's like kind of just been slowly developing from there.
Now, I don't think he made this pun intentionally, but I'm going to pause so you can appreciate it anyways. His photography developed. Okay, sorry. Back to Mike.
And then I kind of went back into film and started using like some of my grandparents' like old film cameras just to like mess around. It was hard to find film like when I was in university and stuff. And then I think like the big leap for me was when I first started this project is to like spend the money on a camera. I just like was like, okay, I'm going to finally just do it and spend the money. And then from there, it's like, oh, I'm starting to learn all these techniques and things like that. So it's kind of like accelerated my development for sure.
Another pun.
How many cameras do you have now?
Just one.
Just one?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I have two. That's a lie. I have one camera that I use for this project, and then I have like a Pentax 456 that I mess around with once in a while, but it's just like heavy and big, and it's just kind of annoying to bring around, so it kind of just collects dust. But I'll have a project for it one day, I think.
What got you so interested in style and like fashion?
I don't know. It's always been an interest. Like, you know, my mom was always kind of like dressing us cute as kids, and then growing up, me and my brother were always kind of like focused on trends and different clothing and things like that. And then I don't know, just like it's a way of self-expression, it's a way of like being different. So I think that's always been part of it too. And I've always just like, maybe it's like a bit of being nosy, like I'm always just like trying to think of what people are, like look at what brands people are wearing or what clothing people are wearing. Oh, I've never seen that before, like I wonder what that is. And I've always kind of had that in the back of my mind. I've just never chose to document it or express it before.
What makes you stop people?
Yeah, it's a question that I always get, and honestly it's really hard to like nail down. There's definitely like kind of a few buckets that I look at. It's like either a piece of clothing that I've never seen before, and I'm like, oh, I've never seen, like, say I like one that just pops in my head is like this pair of like kind of clogs that I saw the other day that were not like the cooking chef clogs, but they weren't like Birkenstock clogs. They're kind of just like in the middle. I'd never seen them before, kind of higher, and I was just like, I've never seen those before. I need to stop this person for a photo. And the rest of the outfit looked great too, but so there's kind of like one piece, or it's just like the way that the whole outfit is presented has some sort of like color blocking or some sort of flow or some sort of like, this person got dressed this morning and knew they were putting this outfit together. I see that like down the block. I'm like, okay, I need to stop this person. And then other times it's just like something zany, or the person's just like their swagger, like the way that they're walking. You're just like, oh yeah, this person looks interesting. Like I just need to take a photo. And then other times it's like something just like speaks to you and you're just like, ah, this is interesting. And then you look back at that photo, you're like, I have no idea why I took that photo, but kind of turned out pretty good. Sometimes it's framing. Oh, like this tree is kind of crossing the sidewalk right here, and this really cool car is here. Like I need to stay here for a couple minutes and see if I can grab someone and take a photo. So yeah, there's lots of reasons.
Now when you're in your doctor's office and it's like 12 minutes per visitor, Do you have kind of that when you're photographing people, or are you like, yeah, I have hours and hours to talk to people?
No, I used to have more time without a baby and just being able to like, oh, I'm gonna go for like a 2.5 hour walk and maybe stop in here, stop in there and come back. But now it's pretty much like make it to the end of the block, come back, I gotta help with dinner time or bedtime or whatever the case may be. But even then, I would say my interactions were pretty short because I'm like a pretty introverted person in terms of like, I don't like getting in people's way or bothering them for too long. So it's usually like, hey, sorry to bother you, blah, blah, blah. Can I take a quick photo? People say yes. Boom, here's your photo. Here's your sticker. And then it's like, okay, have a nice day. And then we walk away. And even like my photography, like the actual taking of the photos is pretty quick too. Like 3 shots and I'm like walking away.
Is that something like as an introvert that you enjoy the transient nature of the drive?
Yeah, I mean like, yeah, it's kind of like everybody's got something else on their mind. You can just tell like people are thinking about other things or kind of in their own little world as they're walking through this like community. So it's kind of an interesting like juxtaposition that we're all kind of like sharing the same pathway and we all kind of are in like our own little world sometimes, and then someone like pops out and says like, hey, can I take a photo? And people are like, what? Like I was like totally somewhere else, and it's kind of like a surprise thing too, which is kind of fun. But yeah, I don't think many people expect it. So if the situation might happen where like I see somebody on the opposite side of the road and I lock eyes with them, and then if they all of a sudden see me like dart across the road and then start like following them, I don't know if that'd be like a very easy feeling for somebody. So I try to avoid that, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, well, I'll let that one go. Like, that was a great outfit, but hopefully they're from the neighborhood and I'll catch them next time kind of thing. Yeah. But then there's been other times where I'm like, okay, I'll just like turn around, keep walking down the block, try to beat them to the next light, and then cross the light and hopefully, yeah, not scare them or whatever. That's like my number one goal. I just don't want to make people feel like anxious.
Have you ever had a negative reaction?
For sure. It happens. Yeah, it happens like not as much to like be really entertaining, but it does happen. And it's kind of like humbling, also kind of like shocking sometimes, kind of funny sometimes. It just depends on like the day. And sometimes you just catch people on a bad day, or you catch people, like I try not to approach people from behind, because I feel like that makes anybody anxious, is like someone coming from behind you and be like, yo, hey, whatever. So I try to get people face to face, or if I see someone, I try to like catch up with them and like kind of loop around, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But once in a while you just catch somebody in a weird state of mind or in a weird situation, and they just kind of like get off put and maybe say some rude things or whatever. But it's usually like, I would say 99.5% of the time it's very pleasant.
Are you like aware of your presence as a male also?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, even the way I'd like, yeah, I don't know how to answer that. The answer is yes. Like I am aware of like my positioning as a male, and even if it's like starting to get a little darker outside, or it's really busy, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm definitely aware.
How does it impact your mood? Like the times that you go out, do you notice that you get like emotionally impacted by the routine or lack thereof, I guess?
Sometimes, yeah. Or you see something that kind of bothers you. Like when you're out that much, you see a lot of stuff. And I think the other thing is like I'm out there and I'm like constantly watching what's going on. Like I'm very aware of what's going on. So I'm not just like in my own little world, like on the phone or something. I'm kind of engaged with what's going on. So yeah, you see things that maybe bother you, or you see things that you're like, oh, I wish that could be better.
Like what?
So, well, I don't know. Like there's tons of stuff that like people experiencing homelessness, or, you know, people just having a bad day, like in a fight. You see people like on the corner crying or something, you're like, oh man, I wonder what happened to that person. Like, that's a shitty day. I'm just out here like cruising around taking photos, and this person's like crying. It's like sad, you know? And you're like, well, I want to just like go pat them on the shoulder, but it's like, you know, people need space and stuff. Like I'm not that person. But then there's also days where I like have a really sweet interaction, or really great 4 or 5 photos, and or you run into people you haven't seen in a while and you catch up, and you get home and you're like, oh, like on a little high, because you're just like, that was so much fun. So yeah, it definitely swings both ways.
Do you listen to music or anything while you're... Yeah, because I was going to say, when you're walking for that long, that would be a lot of like self-reflection time.
Yeah. Yeah, I make playlists for each season. And then on my web page, at the top of every page, there's like a little music button. And on that button is like that season's playlist. I think that'll be cool. Again, like retrospectively for me, I don't think anybody else gives a shit, but retrospectively for me, it'll be cool to go back and be like, oh yeah, during spring 2020, like what was I listening to?
In spring 2020, Mike was listening to nearly 22 hours worth of songs, 331 to be exact.
Mike's spring tunes include some local bands like Peach Pit and Babe Corner. I'll feature one of their songs at the end of this episode, so stay tuned.
What's the most surprising thing that sort of emerged out of this project?
I think maybe my ability to like actually like be a bit of an extrovert and start to like branch out to that side. Like I would never go to, like I would before, I probably wouldn't go to like a concert or a movie alone, or like go to an art show alone. I'd feel like maybe I wouldn't have that like confidence, or I wouldn't have that, not that confidence, but just like didn't have that desire to do those types of things. And this long into it now, I have the confidence where like I could just like spark up a conversation with a random person.
That's exactly how Mike met a couple of artists working at Slice, a studio on Commercial and Venables, and longtime friend of Sad Magazine. Back in 2018, Mike went up to a stranger, took his photo, and then accepted an invitation to check out that artist's workspace at Slice. Since then, the studio founder and creatives working there have welcomed Mike into their community with open arms.
Just always continuing to go kind of the same places on my walks, you start to make deeper and deeper friendships. So definitely the people at Slice of Life have been like a constant, because it's at kind of like the end of my walk. So I go all the way down Commercial, go down Adnac, and it's like, oh yeah, stop at Slice, pop my head in, see who's there, and then just head back home. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite spot on the drive? Whether it's outside or indoors somewhere?
For what?
For photography.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the corner of, what is that, Charles and Commercial, yeah, like kind of right where Grandview Park starts. That corner's awesome because you have the trees from Grandview Park, and then you usually get like a decent view of the mountains because it's like kind of hill. It's a hill there, right? Kind of across from Havana's there. Yeah, that's like a really nice spot. If you catch somebody there, it's gonna be a Nice photo.
What's your favorite season of East Van?
Oh, man. Like, it's hard for me not to say summer, because as a teacher, like, we're off in the summer, and it's amazing. I'm very grateful for that. But I wish, as a teacher, I could have September off, because I actually love, like, the fall. Those kind of, like, shoulder days where it's, like, warm enough for a t-shirt, but you also need to grab a sweater, and layers are nice, and the colors are nice, and the sun's at the perfect spot around, like, 4, 5, 6. It's just like, yeah, I would say fall is actually my favorite season. I just don't really get to experience it like everybody else does.
Mike teaches teenagers, so I kind of thought his photography hobby would earn him street cred or something, but I was wrong.
But I mean, like, they know, like, all the kids at my school know that I have this project, and we don't really talk about it much or anything.
Were they ever curious?
No. Huh. No. Funny. When's the last time you worked with 15 and 16 year olds?
Not recently.
Never, yeah.
Upon further reflection, the answer is never.
Yeah. You forget, but you're pretty, like, in your own world at that age. Like, everything's about, like, you. And especially grade 11 and 12, you're starting to think about university and where is my life going to go, and I have to make all these big decisions. Like, things outside of your, like, 5 or 20 friends or whatever the case may be, your little bubble, like, doesn't really... Oh, that's cool. My teacher does photography on the side. Great. I have a university essay due tomorrow, so... They, and I'm not, like, selling them short. They understand, like, globalization, and I find this, like, next generation actually very amazing in terms of what they're doing for equity and things like that. So they are thinking outside of themselves, but a lot of the times it's, like, very self-centered. But that's just, I think, like, the brain development, and that's just, like, growing up.
Shout out to Mike's students, who most certainly don't care their teachers on a podcast.
Is there anything about this project that you think would surprise people that they don't know about the behind the scenes?
I mean, like, I don't know if it's a surprise to people, but I've walked thousands and thousands of kilometers to get these photos.
And I'm sure he will walk thousands and thousands more.
And some days I'll walk, you know, 5-10k and get one photo, and other days I'll, like, just quickly be running out to get, you know, like, a bottle of wine and a bar of chocolate, and I'll take, like, 15 photos. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense. I've thought about, like, maybe, like, coming up with some data analysis, like, what day of the week at what time am I most likely to get a photo, and I think it would all come out, like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just, like, all luck. But yeah, it's, like, a lot of walking, a lot of, like, being out there. It's all spontaneous. Like, I don't coordinate with anybody, or yeah, so maybe people know that, maybe people don't, because people do ask, like, how do you choose, or how do you, like, how do I get a photo, or how do I, you know, where can we meet? And I'm just always just like, no, it's just spontaneous, be out there.
There must be, like, a parameter for time though with lighting.
Mm-hmm. It just changes in season to season. Yeah. So I mean, I like the, like, in the summer I like the, you know, 4 to 7, 8 o'clock, the lighting during that time, because at, like, noon, say, on commercial 11, noon, even on Main Street too, the sun's, like, right in your face, so I gotta wait for it to get a little lower, and then there's just more people, like, maybe heading out for dinner, heading home from work, things like that, so there's more chance of people being out. But then again, like, this morning on my way here, what time is it, 10 o'clock on a rainy Friday morning, and I got, like, 4 pictures, and it's like, I never walk down Broadway. I usually think of walking down Broadway as more like just to get to Main Street, so I'll maybe go down 10th or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Broadway this morning I got 4 photos, and it's like, why? It's so weird.
Has anyone tried to find you?
Like, I don't
where
know
where they really want to be photographed by you.
I don't know. Not on purpose. I've had a couple funny interactions where people are like, no way, we were just talking about you, like, when we were coming to the drive, we're like, oh, we hope we run into you or whatever, but nobody's, like, you know, reached out and been like, hey, you're blah, 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 can you take my photo? Yeah, that's never happened. Sometimes I'll lock eyes with somebody and they'll, like, smile at me and I'll smile back, and I'm like, well, I wonder if they recognize me and they want me to stop them, or if I've taken their photo before and they're just, like, saying hi. And I just, like, haven't put it together. But yeah, nobody's, like, outwardly jumped out. What I do get a lot of interactions on is actual posts. People tagging their friends, like, oh, finally, I was waiting for this person, things like that, which I think is, like, the kind of the cool part of it, but, like, nobody talks to me. Like, once in a while, I'll get a message like, hey, love what you're doing. Cool, thank you. But it's, like, pretty rare.
I'm when you were speaking about people tagging their friends and being like, oh, I was waiting to see that person. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever go down rabbit holes with that too? And you're like looking at all these connections?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The connections in the city are actually wild. And it's like Vancouver, but you can tell like where all the roots are. And then a lot of the roots of these people all kind of like overlap in some way. Like, oh yeah, I went to high school and so, and then we worked together here. And you kind of just start like putting together this like massive Vancouver family tree. So it'd be cool to do that one day, like maybe with all the photos, is like build this like Vancouver family tree 2015 to 2023 or whatever it would be. Like, that'd be kind of funny, but I don't have the like that many connections in terms of like knowing that myself, but I'm sure there's like two or three people that I know that could like probably put together a pretty cool family tree. Yeah.
When we spoke back in the fall, Mike said he didn't have big ambitions for Seasons of East Van. He's a full-time teacher and a new father. He only has so much capacity for the project without it being his full-time gig.
So I never wanted this to be full-time work. And I think if I wanted this to go beyond what it is right now, I would have to make it full-time work. Mm. And I don't necessarily want to do that at this point. And just like building a database of images from a time frame, I think is going to be really cool to look at in like 20 years. I never looked at this project like that. It was kind of just like, let me just fool around and see what happens. But now that I have this like massive collection of photos, I'm like, oh, this is cool. I need to like preserve this and make sure it's on 5 different hard drives. Yeah.
He has since released his first full professionally printed book. It's a collection of 124 portraits from East Vancouver taken throughout the four seasons of 2022. It's $40 and can be found at local retailers along the drive. You can check out more details at seasonsofeastfan.com.
Welcome to the Sad Fan Club, baby. You are enough. Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to the Sad Fan
Club. To wrap things up, I'd like to throw it back to Babe Corner, the all-female five-piece indie rock band that made Mike's Spring 2020 playlist before they released Crybaby, their first full album this March. According to the band, Crybaby started out as a collection of songs that were too short to be an album and had too much depth to be an EP. This band is so lovely and quirky. It's as though a barbershop quartet recorded a surf rock album underwater, dried it out with some humor, and then put a pastel bow on it. The newest member of the band, Lily, helped write the first half of the song I'm about to play you. Without further ado, here's Babe Corner with their song, They Don't Love You.
There's never been a lot that I can't replace. Until now, I'm ending days. There's not enough time in my bed to replay the troubled days inside my head. I lost my
is brought to you by Sad Magazine, featuring stories, art, and design by local and emerging artists and writers. The intro and interstitial music is by Comortal.